Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulligan.
I'm Mark Whitman.
I'm Ethan Whitman.
And we're on the road going to get some ribs. But there was something we wanted to talk about. It wasn't going to be a topic that was going to take up a long period of time. I figured we could cover it on our trip to Black Smokehouse and our trip from Black Smokehouse. So first of all, I just ordered a shirt off of, I saw this ad on Facebook, which I don't know if you know this. They're targeting us with ads.
Yes, sir. Based on your interests.
They know that I like comic books, and I ordered this t-shirt. It's Alex Ross from Kingdom Come. It's the artwork from Kingdom Come with Batman. This is flipping awesome.
That is pretty sweet.
Lord of Moses. Am I really that big? And it's this material that's real soft, don't feel good on my skin.
You'll have that shirt on here in about 15 minutes.
Yes, I will. Because my gimmick is wearing multiple shorts a day. But this show is not to talk about DC heroes. This show is to talk about...
real heroes.
No, Steve Rogers.
Oh.
We talked about on the show a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about comic books. And we talked about Steve Rogers being an agent of Hydra.
Yeah.
And...
apparently for 75 years been deep undercover.
Yes. And both you and I, on, I don't remember what episode it was, we talked about how
ridiculous that was.
That there was no way that the man...
no, not with all the things that he'd done in his life, that there was no way.
But he had these childhood memories of loving Hydra.
Yeah.
And it was this huge deal. I mean, kudos to Marvel.
It was very controversial, yeah.
Kudos to Marvel, and the story was that the writer was an anti-American guy.
Yes.
I mean, just blew up. And then Mark calls me and says, have you read issue 2 yet? And I said, no, I haven't read it yet. He said, oh, it's a must read. So spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. Okay. He hasn't been.
No.
A Hydra agent.
And everybody owes the guy, whoever was threatening death to the man who wrote a comic book.
Right.
Might owe him an apology.
So what happened was, all right, so let me say I'm a little bit confused because somehow the Red Skull has Charles Xavier's powers.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't know.
And he's just got like a normal house. And in issue 2, Red Skull, he's just chilling in a suit at his house? I mean, is that really what he wears? So, there's this cosmic cube that takes on the form of a little girl. And the Red Skull nurtures this little girl.
Yeah.
Into making her believe Hydra is the greatest thing in the history of mankind. And then he realizes the power this cosmic cube has to make people believe that their past is something completely different.
Right, not just make them believe, like implant memories where they think that they've been something that they haven't been for years.
Right. So he develops this plan of how can he break Steve Rogers. And he laments how, man, I could do all this stuff with these my powers, but it's not, wouldn't be as good.
Right.
So this little girl, this cosmic cube, is the one that implanted these memories on Steve Rogers that he legitimately thinks Hydra is the greatest thing in the world, and he has loved Hydra since his youth.
He thinks that he has been deep undercover for years.
So I want to say a couple of things. I thought it was an amazing comic book.
It was.
Issue 2 is amazing. You get this perspective from the Red Skull that maybe you've just never seen before of how, you know, how deeply he hates Steve Rogers, and you know, he just wants to he just how diabolical.
The best supervillains to me are the ones that don't want to, like, Doomsday's great.
Yeah.
Where he wants to just pick somebody up, snap their back. But these thinking men,
yeah,
supervillains are the best. Where they're like, no, no, no. I don't want to break his back. I want to break his spirit.
Yeah.
I want to make everybody think that he's this awful person.
Yeah. I want everybody to hate him as much as they hate me.
Right.
And it's just absolutely tremendous. Now, having said that, okay, and I want to tie this into wrestling maybe a little bit. The story was Steve Rogers just turned heel.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
But he did.
So I was a little disappointed in that. Like, even though I questioned how it was possible that he could be a Hydra agent all these years.
You feel like it was a
red herring.
And it was. Well, there's a reason you feel that way, because they did kind of dupe you into making you invest in this storyline. Because I'll be honest with you, now that I've read issue two, I'm not really interested in it anymore. Like,
no.
I was interested in Captain America when he was going to be a bad guy, but now he's not a bad guy. I've kind of lost interest in the story already.
Because you know in the end...
Because I couldn't wait to read issue two. I knew when issue two was coming out.
Right.
A few weeks before.
Yeah.
So that I made sure I bought my digital copy. Like, when I got off work that night, I went home and bought the digital copy and read it.
Wow.
Because I had to know.
Yeah.
But now, like, I don't care about issue three.
To me, they should have waited to give it away.
Yes, it should have been revealed in maybe issue four.
I mean, this was Vince Russo booking.
It really was. It's like smash somebody over the head with a coconut, but we don't really know where to go from there.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, let's do Goldberg Hogan on Nitro.
Yeah.
For free.
With no build.
With no build. Like I said, I really... I'm like you. I really got no interest. I know how this ends. He beats the Red Skull. He gets his memories back, and there
right,
you go.
Right. I didn't know what was going to happen before, and now I know.
I'm much more interested in DC, where, yes, you know, I don't know if you've read Detective Comics yet,
no,
where Batman has brought Kathy Kane, who's Batwoman. He said, I need you to... I cannot take care of Gotham by myself. One day, Dick Grayson will take over for me. He's not going to live forever. We got to build a team. But more importantly than building a team, we got to build up a system of training people to be good guys. And so it's talking about the training and she, you know, how she's training everybody. And... one of the big things, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, is now they're getting into Tim Drake really wrestling with this thing of, can I do more good as Robin, or he's got this scientific scholarship to like Harvard or something, and he's wrestling with this decision of, well, how can I do the most good?
Right.
I even read Rebirth Aquaman.
I hadn't read it yet. Have you read Green Arrow?
I think I did.
Yeah, you probably know if you did. Because, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. In the first issue of Green Arrow, he gets shot and killed.
What?
Yes. Well, he gets shot. I don't know that he's dead yet.
Right.
But that's where the story
is. Yeah, definitely.
You haven't read that yet. I didn't think you did, or you would have known exactly what I was talking about. So I just picked up issue two. We went to the Ethan and I went to the comic. By the time they hear this, it'll be a month from now. But
right.
Ethan and I went to the comic book store yesterday, and I got issue two, so I'm interested to see how it plays out. But what's going on in Aquaman?
He's just... that's a really good question.
Nothing important.
No, I remember reading it and I liked it, but it's been a couple of weeks and I've read more comics in the last couple of weeks than I have been reading, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not just reading Batman now.
Right.
I'm reading the Superman, because what they're doing with Superman and Superman's son is, oh my goodness, what issue was it? I can't remember.
If it's issue two, I just got it yesterday.
Oh, it's just.
Do I need to be reading Detective Comics to keep up with what's going on? And do I need to be reading Action Comics to keep up with the whole storyline? Okay,
yes.
So they're doing the Rebirth stuff there.
Yes.
Okay.
It's all tied in together.
Okay. Well, I'll have to pick those up then.
Yeah, it's all tied in together. And then they just came out with Justice League Rebirth.
I got it yesterday.
I have not read it. Did you read it?
I haven't read it yet. I picked it up yesterday. Do you need to read Aquaman and Wonder Woman as part of this deal? Because I'm reading Green Arrow and Flash, Batman, Superman, and Teen Titans.
I think you got to read them till a certain point. I'd go through issue 3 or 4 and see what's happened.
Yeah, I need to pick them up.
I think I read pretty much everything on the little checklist, the Rebirth checklist they put out. But see, DC again, they got their core characters, and that's who they're focusing on. They're not focusing on, you know, they're not giving you 3 different Martian Manhunter comics.
Hey, even though they got a Suicide Squad movie coming out, I ain't seen Harley Quinn in Suicide Squad Rebirth.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
That's what I'm saying. You're not going to see that. They're focusing on their Justice League characters.
You're right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Marvel's trying to make me read the Inhumans, and I don't want to read the Inhumans.
Right.
Do I go straight here?
Yes, sir.
I thought so. They got a Suicide Squad movie coming out next month, and they ain't doing Suicide Squad Rebirth. That's what I'm saying.
Now, one thing they are doing that is going to tie into Suicide Squad is Amanda Waller is becoming a major character in DC Comics. And I think the current Batman storyline may tie into Suicide Squad a little bit.
Really?
I'm getting more and more excited for that movie.
Yeah, me too, man. That's going to be good.
I think it's going to push the limits of the PG-13 rating.
I think so, too. And I'm all for pushing the boundaries of that.
I mean, and the question is, are you going to see this movie? Well, is Margot Robbie in it? Yes, then I am going to see this man. All right, you're going to want to get in the right lane, and then we'll go to our typical Exxon.
Okay, I was thinking it was in the left lane.
Well, you can go straight, but I think it's quicker to go right here.
Okay.
What do I know? I don't.
About navigating the town you live in.
That's right. Marvel Civil War is going on. There's so much. I don't know what. There's so many Marvel comics right now. It's like the Simply Amazing Hulk, and I don't even know who Spider-Man is now. Miles Morales or is it Peter Parker?
It's Peter. What happened apparently was Dr. Octopus figured out a way to put his brain inside Peter Parker,
right?
And he realized that there actually was a weight to being Spider-Man. There actually was great responsibility with the great power. Peter Parker, as Peter Parker, he wound up like making some really good investments and making some good technological decisions, and now Peter Parker like is a Steve Jobs type character.
Oh wow.
I don't know for sure because I'm not reading it, but just kind of trying to keep up.
And now Iron Man is going to be a 15-year-old black girl.
Really?
I saw that was a big, that's what Facebook was all abuzz about yesterday.
Yeah, I'm all for, as you and I'm all for introducing a little bit of variety into things. I'm trying to think of the right word that's not offensive. Multicultural.
Yeah, no,
I got no problem with that kind of stuff. I just want it to be a good story.
Yeah.
That's all I care about, and I'm not, like, Marvel's just losing me right now. They're trying to do too much, and they're pushing these characters that I don't care about.
See, in...
Used
to be in DC, and I don't know if it was Batman or Detective Comics or Brave and the Bold, but there would be a short story at the end of the main comic, and it would like there for a while. There was a superhero from Israel, and there was all these different cool, really cool superheroes that you never saw anywhere else. They were just in these stories, but that's not who they were making movies of. They were secondary heroes, secondary stories.
Right.
And we're going to get some money, then we're going to eat, and then on this episode you'll hear an interview with the owner of Black Smokehouse, and then we'll wrap it up with Ethan's opinion on the barbecue experience that we are about to have.
That's right.
Hey, it's Heath Mulliken from the Double Dropkick Show, and we're where we're always at Black Smokehouse, eating lunch. And I'm here with Matt and Kim Black, the owners of Black Smokehouse and also the Soul Kitchen. So, Kim, I'll ask you first, what got you guys into the barbecue business?
Well, we moved here in 2011 and got ready to open our first restaurant, the Blue Marble. And around 2013, we got ready to sell the Blue Marble. We'd been driving all the way into Anderson to get barbecue and really wanted something here in Oconee County. So that was really the whole point of us getting this open, was that local barbecue here in Oconee County.
So by far, this is the best barbecue in the state, in my opinion. So, Matt, where did you learn to cook barbecue?
Well, I mean, honestly, I started barbecuing about 3 years ago. But, I know. I mean, you got to understand, I'm a classically trained chef.
Oh, wow.
French cooking, so I mean, you know, it's a slow food process. So, you know, it's just cooking with a completely different medium as opposed to, you know, doing everything in an oven. Now we're cooking with wood, slow cooking it. And, you know, so that's pretty much it. It was a little trial and error in the beginning, making sure we got the smoke mixture right and everything like that. But then after that, you know, it's pretty much just let it roll.
Now, you guys have been, how many years have you guys been open now?
Since 2014.
And whenever we're in here, it is.
Yeah, well, it was the very end of the year, though, 2013.
Yeah.
I mean.
But every time we're in here, business seems to be booming because, like you said, people were having to drive to Anderson to get barbecue. What's been, in the 3 years you've been here, what's been the response to your food here?
It's been great. I mean, everybody's been very happy with it. We just feel bad that a lot of times we disappoint people later on in the afternoon because we run out of product. But we can only smoke so much. Our pit will only hold so much. And that's our biggest thing, is that we wish we could prepare more. But what everyone has to understand, that it's, you know, 14-hour process for brisket. And then once we smoke it, we have to be able to hold it in ovens to make sure that we keep it warm and fresh and everything right for y'all. So
what was the idea behind opening up the Soul Kitchen? Because there, what, to my knowledge, there wasn't a soul food place around here. But
well, that was sort of our thing, yeah.
That was another thing.
And we wanted to, since the barbecue was selling so quickly, I've heard ladies wanting more vegetables to take home and stuff like that. So I thought this was an extension of maybe you come grab some pork over here on this side and then go get some green beans and fresh squash on the other side and just vice versa.
Right.
That was a lot of it. A lot of it is just, you know, don't heat up your kitchen in the summertime. We'll go ahead and cook it for you.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, Matt, here's my question. When the day is done and it's time for you to eat some Black Smokehouse barbecue, what's on your plate?
I eat the ribs.
Yes.
That's it. I eat the ribs.
Yeah.
I've had way too many bad ribs at too many barbecue places that
okay.
Yeah, they all come from Snow Creek. That's their processing, so it's all local hogs.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, twice a week they process ribs for us fresh that we pick up from them.
So when you come here, you are not only supporting one local business, you're supporting two local businesses. I was able
supporting more than that with the Soul Kitchen, that's all farm to table.
Wow.
That's all local farmers and
Gibson
meat producers,
farms.
Gibson Farms, Roundabout Farms, Callaway Farms,
yes.
Or Calliewood Farms.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, we've been working with all local farmers for that over
that's
there.
That's awesome.
So let's say some people are local or they're in the Tri-County area and they want to find out more about Black Smokehouse. Where can they go online and on Facebook to find out about you guys?
BlackSmokehouse.com is the first place to start. We've got a great website. The Soul Kitchen has a website also. Just Google it in and you'll see it all come up.
Yeah, and we've linked to their Facebook page before. Listen, they got a $10. Now, Mark and I are too big to get the lunch. We got to get the dinner portions. But the $10... their $10 lunch special is absolutely amazing. You never know. They've always got some kind of dessert floating around. What was that? What was that dessert we had once? It was some kind of cake.
The ooey gooey butter cake.
Oh my goodness! It was. All right. So yes, so we don't want you to give all the you trade. You said, but what have you learned? Like, what's the number one thing you've learned in 3 years of barbecuing that you would pass on to us amateurs?
Take your time. Don't rush it.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing you could do, is try and do everything fast. It's all about sitting back, drinking a couple beers, and just waiting. for it to get done, you know? That's the best thing.
Well, listen, we hope you'll come over and support Black Smokehouse. They are great. I want to thank Matt and Kim not only for feeding us every other Thursday, but just for this great business they've got. Best of luck to you guys, and we'll see you guys soon. Well, we just finished not only a great lunch at Black Smokehouse. You just heard that wonderful interview with Matt and Kim Black, and just what a great group of people.
So cool to learn that not only do you have a great small business, but that they're supporting the other businesses in the area. Because that's what we're about. I mean, this is not a solicited thing.
No.
We're not getting anything. I mean, it's so good, and I want people to know about how good it is.
Yeah, yeah. And they take pride in that. They take pride in that they're farm to table and just really
and they
really
get their ribs from Snow Creek, which if you know anything about sausage in the area, they're a local company that produces sausage.
Yeah.
And it's the best sausage you will buy in the supermarket. I can
bar none.
It is like everything else is a booger compared to Snow Creek meat as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
It's that good. And I didn't realize those were Snow Creek hog ribs that we were eating.
Yeah. It's possible that I've known some of those pigs.
You may have seen them. I'm telling you, man, hands down, that's the best barbecue place around. Like, I told my father, I was like, man, you've got to make the trip over here to eat at this place.
We need to get His Honor to come over here and eat with us one Thursday.
Yeah, we do, man. He'd love it. I mean, it's kind of hard with the way he worked, but I know he'd make a trip on a Saturday.
You're going to go all the way through Seneca, ain't you?
Am I going the wrong way?
You can go this way. Listen, all roads lead to Oakway.
Okay.
See, what some kind of shenanigans,
that's
a fire?
That's a wreck.
Oh, well. Hopefully
these shenanigans, these people wrecking.
Hopefully no one is injured.
I hope not.
That would be
not a good thing.
So we were distracted by that. Ethan, what did you think about the... I'm trying to move out of the way so you... What did you think about you got the barbecue plate.
Yes, I did.
What'd you think?
I would eat it again. I'm thinking about asking my parents if they'll go there.
There you go.
See, I think every child should ask their parents.
You have to have barbecue that's that good.
That's right. You have to have barbecue that's that good. I agree.
Yeah.
You have to try. It is that good.
And Matt said in the interview, and we talked to him probably another 5 minutes after I ended the interview, because they're a business. I didn't want to take up the man's day, but he just said, you know what? I went to this highly rated, highly esteemed barbecue restaurant and got the ribs, and they were terrible.
Yeah.
And he said, you know what? I think I can do better. And Matt, you did.
You did better, my friend. And it was great to hear, like, he had the same philosophy that we talked about. The fall off the bone thing is just that they're not good.
No.
They fall apart like that.
No, no. Oh, man.
Anyhow. All right, go ahead, guy.
Oh dear, I forgot Mark's driving. It might be dangerous to record while Mark's driving.
I stopped myself because I knew you were recording and you wouldn't be able to post the video.
Pastor part in them.
Oh, man. So any further thoughts on Steve Rogers?
I'm kind of disappointed that they did the big reveal so quick. I think they should have drug it out a little longer.
Yeah, I agree. And it really wasn't...
Ethan, are you familiar with that? Do you know what I'm talking about? Other than you and me talking about it.
No, not really.
Okay. That's what I like about this guy. He doesn't know anything about it, so he doesn't pretend like he does.
I mean, good if he comes down like instead of a second one, they
come
down like him doing like a terrorist attack or something.
Yeah. Well, we're not done yet. He may.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I totally agree with you that if somebody hasn't seen something or doesn't know about it, they ought to keep their mouth shut about it. People that talk about, that can expound on things that they really aren't familiar with for an extended period of time,
Those are the kind of people. That's what's wrong with this country.
Yeah, that's right. What'd you say, Ethan?
Stand up, Ethan.
Stand up, Ethan.
Oh, man.
This is going to be a new running joke.
I'm going to be playing shortstop tonight. Oh, man.
That's what she said.
What? Have you been to that record store?
Yes, right? I have. It's awesome.
I like how he changes it from laughing to
now,
that record store.
Well, that's a great
now, one. You do want to turn right at the light here.
Okay. So since we passed it and we're all about small business, yesterday's records over here in Seneca, man. The guy who owns it, I think his name's Mike. He's very, very, very knowledgeable.
Yeah.
He goes to a lot of record conventions with people that collect records. And, man, you talk about a lot of hard-to-find stuff. His store's full of it. But I will tell you this. The hard-to-find stuff is not going to be $4 or $5 a piece.
You know,
you're going to pay for some of the stuff he's got. But he's got, I can about guarantee you, I've never gone in there and not found a record that I've been looking for a couple of years.
Right. What records are you looking for now? Anything in particular?
No. That's the thing about amassing a collection. Once you reach a certain point, you know, I mean, it's just kind of sitting around hoping you find a copy of License to Ill by the Beastie Boys or Rain and Blood by Slayer.
Yeah.
Appetite for Destruction. Stuff like, I mean, I have a vinyl copy of Appetite for Destruction, but I don't have an original pressing.
Right.
Those three are three that I'm looking for. Any type of like 80s metal and 80s rap is very, very hard to find. Believe it or not, everybody thinks it's the other stuff. It's 80s music that's hard to find.
Huh.
Because everybody had a copy of Frampton Comes Alive and Rumors. But, you know, the people that had copies of Appetite for Destruction might not have them anymore. And they're sitting up.
So, like, if I'm in a record store and I. All right, so Mark was talking about records. I got a phone call, got interrupted. He basically said 80s rap and metal is what is hard to find.
In a nutshell.
Peter Frampton and
the Eagles and Fleetwood Mac. It's
not hard to find. Everybody's got a copy of Rumors. What about, I saw the Batman versus Superman soundtrack on vinyl.
Uh-huh.
Stuff like that, does that interest you?
Some of it, if it's good. I mean, I have some new stuff.
When I went back and watched the Ultimate Edition of Batman vs. Superman, the soundtrack appealed to me even more. I liked it the first time I saw it.
Uh-huh.
And I got the Ultimate Edition on iTunes. And listen, once Mark sees the Ultimate Edition, we will be doing an episode on that because it was incredible. It was great. It's one of those things you don't need to manage your expectations.
Everybody's saying this is the version. Why did they not release this? Why did they not release this version of the movie?
To me, you're trying to appeal to a wide audience, so you got to cut it down to 2.5 hours. But in doing that, you cut out some stuff. You anger your core fans. Why not just make it 3 hours?
Yeah.
If people are going to see it, they're going to see it. I don't. Any Batman fan.
Yeah, there's nobody that was going to go see that movie that would have said, I don't know.
3 hours. I think it was 3 hours.
Yeah,
that's exactly how they
saw
sound.
All those
Lord of the Rings. I mean, if anything.
The Hobbit movies were
terrible. Oh, my gosh. They were terrible.
Yes, they were. But they are the most beautifully shot movies about walking I've ever seen.
I have never.
The very last one.
Yeah.
I always had a fight.
Was it good?
Yeah.
I haven't seen the Battle of the Five Armies.
Yeah, I haven't either.
But I did see the Tupelo Concession Stand Brawl.
The Unexpected Journey in Desolation.
The who?
Unexpected Journey in Desolation.
Was Desolation a smog? Did you like it either?
It's just them in that mountain. Just them
walking again.
Yeah, it's finally them getting to the mountain. And
they either walking on the mountain or walking in a mountain.
Or walking to a mountain.
The very last one's them actually killing the dragon and fighting.
What?
Get out of here.
Spoiler alert. Come on, Ethan. You gotta
say spoiler alert.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I'm just kidding, man. Everybody knows how it is.
I don't know how it is.
Well, I read the book.
Well, there's your first mistake. That's what's wrong with this country. Kids reading the books.
Hey, I read The Green Mile and then watched the movie.
You know, a lot of people don't know that's a Stephen King book.
Who doesn't know that?
Heath.
A lot of people.
Oh, that was like part of the marketing of the whole thing.
Green Mile, that's such a great movie.
It's pretty good, yeah. That's okay. What do you want from me, man?
Come on, you know what I want.
It's a decent movie.
Tom Hanks' portrayal of a man battling kidney stones should have netted him an Oscar.
True.
He was shutting the box. He's shutting the buttocks. He's got kidney stones. He's just stuck on an island.
Save that private fella.
Yeah.
Got stuck on an island. Yeah.
Man, he said, "You got no legs."
You ain't got no legs, Lieutenant Dan. You know, somebody's sitting there making a sequel to Forrest Gump.
Well, the book had a sequel to it.
They've been saying that for 25 years.
I think some things are better left alone.
What, like what? What's better left? I thought Independence Day was better left alone. I've heard some people that said the new Independence Day, not very good.
Oh, yeah, I haven't heard any good reviews of it.
Well, you didn't hear any about the Batman versus Superman.
True. Well, no, I don't know.
Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything good about it. Ethan and I watched the new Fantastic Four movie, and he liked it.
Yeah, I have found that people whose brains aren't fully developed yet really like that movie. Because my kids all liked it.
Yeah.
They're like, "Dad, this was great." Like, "No, it wasn't." Shut up.
But I see why he liked it.
No.
I just didn't much care for it. And my problem with it was like an hour and 20 minutes of origin for 20 minutes of almost action.
That's the only bad part about it, but I like the origin was better than the other one.
I don't remember what the fight was when. Did they go to the little dimension?
Yeah, they went to the thing and Dr. Doom was there.
He just falls on the camera.
Yeah. I wanted to see Thing just rip stuff
I
up.
Wanted to see Thing put some pants on.
Yes, put some pants on that thing.
At least he said it was clobbering time.
He did say clobbering time.
I didn't mind. I didn't think the acting was terrible.
No, and basically what I understand about the movie was if they had just let the director make the movie he wanted to make, a lot of things would have been. It's another situation where originally that movie was supposed to be like 2.5 hours long. And they wind up cutting like the last 45 minutes. So they had this whole deal where they spent an hour getting you ready for it, and then you didn't get the payoff.
Wrapped it all up really quick.
If they had let them make the movie that he wanted to make, it would have had a lot more going on.
Allegedly.
That's his story.
Yeah. Well, apparently, whatever that guy's pretty much been blackballed in Hollywood. Josh Trank.
Yeah, they Catherine Heigl'd him.
Yeah.
And that'll happen. You start biting the hand that feeds you, man.
Yeah, man. When you, if you try to go against the Illuminati, it's going to catch up with you.
Just the Freemasons. That's what the symbol is. The all-seeing guy.
That's right.
Listen. I don't know what Ethan's talking about, but I tell you what. Four guys pointing at the road saying, "We just put a hole there."
Yeah, there's always like, past these things, there's a bunch of guys just kind of.
One guy was driving that machine, one guy was showing him where to go, and the other guy was just sitting there.
Eight other guys were hanging on.
This guy's just standing. He's there whistling. He's just standing there whistling.
I'll never understand the science of road construction.
I'll never understand.
It's fine.
Here's my thing. I will never understand why there are 60 guys out here digging one hole in the ground, and the police department and teachers are underfunded here, and fire department, where you got a small town with one or two police officers for thousands of people.
Right.
You got more people standing here on the side of the road watching them dig a hole when you need to have more police officers, more firemen, and more teachers.
Paramedics,
that's right. That's what I don't understand.
I don't understand.
You don't have enough police officers to do the job properly, or teachers to do the job properly.
Our crime rate's so high up.
That's right, Ethan.
Look at Humboldt Park.
All right, we don't get specific.
All they people know where that is.
Oh, man. Well, we're about to head back. We're almost back to the basement. And this will be concluding this day's recording session.
Yeah,
we have put in a good day's work.
I'm curious, though, as this one goes, and this will probably be the last episode that gets posted before we record again. Do people like the shorter episodes?
We've been getting some of our best praise has been on some of our latest episodes.
Right.
Where we are very...
not talking as much. Well, like Sting. We've never been more over than when we weren't talking.
but we're not letting ourselves... I mean, we'll chase rabbits if necessary. But we're
basing everything off of a topic.
Yeah.
Here's a topic instead of just, let's talk about this. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's catching up.
Right.
Which we would start catching up and we would talk about everything. We've basically taken those hour and a half episodes and turned them into three episodes.
Exactly.
It's the law of supply and demand.
You're right, my friend. You are right.
As a master economist.
You were wrong about the Last Crusade.
I was. So let me just say it publicly. All right. Mark alluded to it in another episode. Very, very handedly. We were talking about comic books. And he said he thought Batman The Last Crusade by Frank Miller was a one-shot. I said, no, I'm 100% sure that is a multi-issue series. And come to find out, it was a one-shot. And we talked about how it ended weird. And either we just passed a chicken house or Ethan's butt just good night.
Chicken farm.
I don't smell like chicken.
I think it's a little bit of both.
I do too.
It don't smell like no chicken. Didn't come off no chicken either.
It might be heat something
like that. It smells like a pig.
He's the person who smelled it.
He did smelt it.
Him and he smelt it down.
And as we all know, if you smelt it, you probably dealt it.
Listen, if I had dealt that one, I would be like, hey guys, that's me.
Did you get a whiff?
Did you catch a whiff of that?
Hey, a whiff of that.
Ha ha. Hey guys, I'm going to brag about my colon rotting and look at the smell.
Look at the smell.
look at the smell.
Well, he just had a mug.
Hey, so a couple of things. So as you're listening to this, we're getting closer and closer to the big day. August 20th, Liberty Rec Center in Liberty, South Carolina. Three Count Pro Wrestling presents Total Control. Mark, this feud has been going on for since December when we saw the turn of Vice President Tim Smith. He's now been fired, but Tim Smith will face Commissioner Eric Bowman in a fight.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know if this is going to be a sanctioned.
I hope not.
But it's for Total Control Three Count Wrestling. Mark and I will be there with the colored commentary. Go 3 Count Pro Wrestling on Facebook. Also, go to the YouTube page where you can see all the videos and everything that's led up to this. You can see the vicious attack that happened to Commissioner Eric Bowman. Just uncalled for, in my personal opinion, and happened about 30 feet from me.
You're too stupid to see who did it.
Well, I'm pretty sure I know who did it. All right. So, anyway, DoubleDropKick.com is where you can listen and download iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn app. The Wrestling You Grew Up With is our group on Facebook. Like the Double Dropkick Show page. At Heath Mulliken on Twitter.
At the DDK Show.
At Ethan Whitman 17. We want to thank again our special guest for the day, who had to be blindfolded as we made our way to the undisclosed location, of the basement. So as always, for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm
Ethan Whitman.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.